I have no disclosures. So Jack and Jen have filled you in on most of the details in the earlier talks today. But in brief, besides ours, there were 16 other Beacon community sites across the country that are all independently investigating health information technology concerns. Most of them are doing something diabetes-related, as are we. And Jack mentioned that we got a little over $15 million, and actually every one of these sites got approximately that amount of money, so this is a really big national project. And as others have mentioned, our specific site focused on assisting inpatient and outpatient providers across separate organizations to share electronic information to enhance diabetes care coordination. And I am a member of the evaluation team. So our conceptual model for the evaluation specifically is that our Beacon community in the Northwest, the BCIN, convenes various medical organizations. Jack had mentioned that we have clinics and hospitals, but we also have pharmacies, skilled nursing homes, and things of that nature. So it is not just the direct providers that are part of this. And then we have the contract signed for data sharing, which is our organization aspect. We then move into the health information exchange, which is region-wide among various medical organizations, with the hope and dream of having a real-time health information exchange hosted by Beacon, which is currently occurring. And then the care coordination aspect is the successful transfer of medical information that also identifies the accountable persons for the care aspects. And lastly, our outcomes are to increase preventive services, reduce utilization and costs, and improve access to information with a specific focus on type 2 diabetes. So our evaluation has multiple components. Firstly, as Jack briefly alluded to, we have a basic quasi-experiment that compares the Spokane Hospital Referral Region, or HRR, which coincidentally came out of Dartmouth, to neighboring non-Beacon site HRRs, which are Boise, Missoula, Portland, and Yakima. As Portland is a very urban area for part of that hospital referral region, we only took the rural aspects of that region and sort of the eastern side of Oregon. And our data sources, we have two different ones. There are secondary retrospective Medicare and commercial claims data from 2009 to 2011 for getting regional baseline diabetes characteristics. And when the data becomes available, we'll compare them to 2012 claims and separately Beacon-specific repository data. The 2012 claims understandably have a fairly lengthy delay, and we will not get those until near the end of 2013. And so we were hoping to get the 2011 baseline data by this point, but we should be getting it within a matter of weeks. So our Medicare claims data does focus only on those over 65 in our regions of interest, while the commercial insurers is part of is data obtained from a third-party data aggregator, which will go unnamed. So the available variables are substantial. We have sociodemographic data, age, sex, et cetera, with the allowed payments, not just the charges, but the actual payments, and the number of admits or visits for total care as well as diabetes-specific care for the emergency room, outpatient, and inpatient. We have length of stay for inpatient care. We have screening tests like the ones Jack mentioned for eye care, LDLs, HA1Cs, et cetera, as well as a proprietary, very much a black box, risk adjustment score. So our baseline cohorts for the available 2009 and 2010 data consist of the following. We have both the patient counts on the left-hand side and the provider counts. So those are not necessarily providers, but more provider groups. So you can see we have a fairly large capture rate, although you can also tell that given the number of patients divided by the number of provider groups, we will have a very few number of patients per provider, and we'll be sorting that out as our data comes. Unfortunately, we are not able to merge the data sets due to the randomization of IDs per year, as well as different capture methodologies between the commercial and Medicare data. So these are basically several years of cross-sectional data. This is not cohort data. So in our pre-Beacon intervention evaluation times, we have noticed that there are indeed some significance and patterns between the regions, again, of Spokane and then the surrounding region. We have noticed that the Spokane Hospital Referral Region has more nephrology tests across all four of the different data sets, which are, again, Medicare and commercial, 2 years each. And the Spokane region has more general medical visits and diabetes-specific ER visits and costs per visits in three out of those four. And these are not just statistically significant, they are clinically significant as well. We're talking hundreds of dollars, or in some cases thousands, in 1 year. And the Spokane region has higher allowed payments to physicians among diabetes patients in 3 out of the 4 years. Interestingly enough, no other variables were consistently significant between regions across years and insurance types. And note that because the Spokane region has more care, that doesn't necessarily mean it has excess care or that the other region has too little care, just that there is a substantial difference between the two. And Jack alluded to some implementation challenges, and there are indeed several. I'll breeze through these because she mentioned most of them, but there were technical issues like the data mapping across the disparate EHRs and the cost control and the data quality issues associated with those multiple systems. There are mergers and going on at any one time. Provider engagement is an issue. It can be very big at the beginning and then dip and ebb as interests dictate. And because we do have a time frame for when the money has to be spent, some people look at their calendars and then realize, well, maybe I don't want to get involved with it for a few months because what if the money goes away? It's not, but what if it does? There are vendor issues in addition to having multiple vendors. Jack mentioned like five. They're also changing vendors on their own. Some are changing, some are upgrading. The vendors, for various political and semi-obvious reasons, are kind of hesitant to commit to working with other vendor systems. We've hit unexpected delays across most issues. We fortunately are not the only beacon that has hit these issues. In fact, I think pretty much all of them have. There are issues with sustainability and recalibration, as well as the changing healthcare landscape that Jack alluded to. Specific to the evaluation, there have been several delayed or irregular start dates across the different medical organizations, which affects the comparison. Unfortunately, not everyone went live on January 1st. They are very staggered, and often there are last-minute delays, which means we can't directly compare one to another. Unfortunately, we were also unable to obtain finance data from the individual organizations. For some reason, they didn't want to give that away. And so we had to go to the third-party claims aggregator to get regional costs as opposed to a specific site. And then we've also hit delays from that third-party aggregator with getting slow to give us the data. And there have been data quality issues. And we have found, somewhat to our surprise, that there is a lot of concern about creating a registry, a diabetes registry, in individual organizations. The clinics and hospitals have found that chart reviews and other aspects of those registries are very labor-intensive, and there have been significant delays to that effect. So, given that all the beacon sites are struggling with delays, we were politely, I emphasize politely, requested by ONC to focus on meaningful use earlier this summer and to do something related to it. Something, anything. So we have created two surveys on participation in the CMS meaningful use programs by the providers in our catchment area. Since the initial meaningful use incentive payments to providers are occurring and some providers are receiving their money. That said, though, little is known about the facilitators and barriers to participation in meaningful use, despite the fact that they're already occurring. In fact, if you look at the literature, it is actually very minute for what is out there, despite how important it is. So our surveys are separate. One goes to meaningful use eligible providers that have attested or are in the registration process of obtaining CMS approval for meaningful use, as well as those that are eligible but have not attested. We have identified these providers through the EHR incentive program, and we're hoping to send out approximately 400 surveys of each type. And we just actually received IRB exemption approval yesterday. This survey will include items for provider demographics, provider practice information such as the size and ownership, etc., and various agree or disagree statements related to meaningful use, the incentives and beliefs behind it, as well as the logistics of actually obtaining it, as well as progress made to meeting core and menu objectives. We are asking the providers that are not seeking meaningful use their progress for obtaining core and menu objectives because we suspect that several of them probably have actually obtained it without necessarily knowing that they've obtained them, as well as the difficulty of meeting those objectives. And there are several open-ended items for their specific thoughts on meaningful use attestation. So just to toss in some specific examples from our disagree-agree statements, we have items such as our clinic administrators are concerned that the cost in terms of lost productivity outweighs the benefit of incentive payments. Or there is a champion provider or administrator in my clinic that is spreading information, excitement, or helping people attest for meaningful use. And also, an important reason for qualifying for meaningful use status is to know how I am performing relative to a standard set by the federal government. And these are just some of several. So our initial wave of surveys will be sent within a few weeks, and we hope to begin analysis in early 2013. So in sum, we do have some implications from our evaluation, even though it is not yet done. Basically, some baseline differences in diabetes care do exist among neighboring hospital referral regions, and they should be adjusted for in analyses. as others have said, and as we all know, region-wide coordination across the medical spectrum can be very, very difficult, but hopefully ultimately rewarding, and that our surveys should inform policy about the facilitators and barriers to meaningful use attestation as identified by qualified eligible professionals. And I'd like to thank my co-authors. They are the same as we mentioned before, with additional thanks to Quincy Moore and other people at INHS, and Quincy is also in the audience. So thank you, guys. And I do have some time for questions if anyone has any specific to me. So thank you. Yes? Well, in addition to what you mentioned, we were also going to hope to find savings, changes in the allowed charges on a yearly basis on a per-patient aggregated level. So they are care quality measures, like you mentioned, as well as cost performance measures.
Hospitalizations.
And hospitalizations. Thank you, Dan. Yeah, by the cost savings, we are not specifically alluding to whether they're receiving more appropriate care, and more care is not necessarily worser care. So we can't make that kind of statement until we see results.
Okay.